Start recording.
My man, Costa, welcome to the Protein Bites podcast. My name is Adriano, for anyone listening. My man to my right, to my left, it's Costa Drack. Now, he owns a business called 747 Fitness. He's been a coach for about 12 plus years, but he's owned that facility for 12 at least. He's based in Melbourne. He runs some boxing, bunch of other stuff, small group PT, big group, one-on-one, I dare say. Costa, give us a rundown on who you are, what you do, and let's chop it up from there.
Thanks for having me on, brother. Yeah, that's correct. So I've got a facility out in Melbourne. Started back in 2011, but it hasn't always been like that. So obviously, you know, starting from a very young age, my passion was always health and fitness. Obviously, started boxing when I was 16 years old. And then people, you know, will always ask me, I want to train, I want to get fit. And obviously, when you're boxing, kickboxing, fighting, you kind of have to bring people to a show.
Yeah.
You know, to bring, you know, to watch you fight, to have, you know, promoters work, and you know, yeah, you want, yeah, the, yeah, fan base, yeah, and you want to grow support. So everyone was asking me. I was doing odd jobs, like when I was first starting out. So I was doing, like, you know, as a young kid, you know, you're coming from a WOG family, you pretty much get told, like, you got to do electrical or a trade, or if you don't go to university, you'll be a nobody. But my, you know, every time I was working those jobs, all I was worried about was, like, training people, man, and health and fitness.
Yeah,
and people will ask me, but being, you know, so young, you know, having a studio, like, you know, it's pretty much impossible with the funds and all that sort of stuff. You know, don't have a, you know, a rich family or any handouts that were given. So I pretty much had to do it myself, pretty much, and just, yeah, have to do what I had to do, pretty much. So the way it worked was I was using, you know, parks and various different parks when I was younger, until I got kicked out of those parks. And then
so just like box feed, or were you just doing box feed, or like, or what was it sort of like?
No, bro. So the way I started was, it's like, you know, how do you have your point of difference? I did like my bare minimum back in like 2010. It was at cert 3 and 4.
Okay.
And then I was like, all right, what do we do now? So I started a running class at a running track. So what I was doing, I was just preparing people for like half marathons, 15K runs, 5K runs, walkathons, charity events.
Do you still do that stuff now? Like charity events or
we still put team, because it just builds a really good community around those runs. So it's great to do. Don't really have a really, really heavy emphasis on it anymore, but we still get around it. Not that many events anymore. And then obviously, like, I did that. It's like, what do you do different? So then, like, obviously I drove around, I had a look at different parks, and then I found one that had like body weight, like chin up bars, dips, push up bars. So I was like, oh, cool, I can start doing some circuits. And being so young, so I started get you know, buying, you know, kettlebells, dumbbells, all that little stuff. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Sick,
what do we do? So like, all right, cool. Tuesday night's our running club. Thursday night's our boot camp, like two different locations. And then obviously where I was training and fighting out of that gym, he gave me the space for Saturday morning. So I could run a class and run some PTs out of there, because obviously they were busy during the week. So I'm very fortunate for them to give me that. So that was pretty much me rolling at those 3 days, just pretty much starting out. And then obviously you build layers to that. So people go, oh, look, we're going to train me one-on-one. So obviously you have to go find shelter and all that sort of stuff to make it work. And then we'll use that gym on a Saturday till it started growing. So I remember when I first started, it was like really good weather. Like September, October. And then I think it came to like March, April 2012. And the gym where I was at, the guy's like, mate, do you want to come here and, like, you know, use the facility, run some sessions for me? You know, because obviously with the rain and all that sort of stuff,
you
really cared for me. And I said, yeah, man, it sounds great. So I got, cool, I'll use a space, set it all up, just do what I had to do, pretty much. Still buying little bits of equipment and just adding on different layers as it went on.
And would you say, let's say somebody's trying to start their fitness journey, or just like, would you say that sort of stuff's enough to get the job done for fat loss, all that sort of shit? Because it's like, I did a little bit of boot camp stuff, but like, would you say that that's sort of enough for somebody to jump into? I think it is.
Yeah, bro, 100%. Like, you fix up the nutrition. And, like, I'm speaking to a lot of coaches every day, and they just want the best of the best. Like, they don't want to work with, like, what they have in a way.
Yeah,
the way 100%. I see it is, like, wait for what you do. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, there's not enough equipment. There's nothing here. There's nothing there. You know, we can't put time on the tension. I'm like, mate, you can find the bench.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Or
you can get some little weight.
Or the floor for push.
There's just so many different variations, bro. Like, you use, like, like a water bottle, like a 4 kilo, and then use that as a weight. But people just don't want to think. They just think they have to go and get the most fancy equipment because that's going to make them a better coach. But it's bullshit.
Yeah, I love that, bro. Okay, talk to me a little bit about your fighting stuff, man. That sounds fucking pretty cool. And what were some of the like the key things that you learned from, I suppose, your experience in that, like personally and like dealing with clients? Like, what was it like for you growing up fighting and doing that sort of stuff?
Yeah, bro. So I started fighting like 16. I just loved it. I got introduced to my mate. And then now he goes, mate, he goes, you can do it. Like, because I've been fighting for like 6, 7 years. And he goes, you know, man, you do sparring. And he goes, you can handle your own. I was only young, I was like 16.
That's crazy.
Then, all right, cool. Yeah. So I started competing, did a couple amateur fights. And then obviously I moved to the gym.
Yeah.
And then I think I was 18. I turned semi-pro. So back then, kickboxing. Yeah. So back then, kickboxing, K1 was... semi-pro was still like 8-ounce gloves, no headgear, and shin pads.
Yeah.
So I had 4 of those fights, and then pretty much you can say like turned professional. So I fought with no shin pads. So it was pretty much little gloves. It's like, oh, let's kind of go for it kind of thing.
Yeah, man. How was that?
Yeah. So it was pretty intense. I loved it as a sport, man. Like a lot of people, that do it, like they watch boxing, they look at it as like as a brawl, but I don't look at it that way. Like kickbox, like cool, how do you strategize? Like how do you get in on the inside? How do you work your opponent? Like there's a skill behind
like chess, almost human chess.
That's right. And that's the way I see it. So yeah, it was great, man. Like fighting and then, like having all my mates come, when I was fighting like a little town halls and like all my mates, like being young and then they're all catching the train, like 20, 30 of them getting off the train, running a mark. It was mad. Like it was just.
That would have been fucking awesome, man. Like, man.
Yeah,
how old were you then?
A kid. Pardon?
How old were you then when you started just like when your mates were coming to watch fights and that sort of stuff?
16, 17, bro. Like still, all of us.
They were all the boys were.
All the boys awesome. Like across the fighting, man, were going down. Like that's I had like sick. The first one. Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. Had like my mates there getting the training. So it was cool. So
you'd never forget those days, man. That's unreal.
Nah, man, like memories you'll have forever. Like got photos and doing stupid stuff on the way back and
of course.
Just being kids, bro. And then obviously turned 18 and then I fought on like bigger shows and all that. And then like having all your mates there, all the supporters and going out after, like just still being young and just creating like everyone from the area kind of thing, like just come together and it was sick, man. Like it was just, it was such a good experience. And I think that's how I kind of build up just because through that, to be honest, because people are like, oh, okay, cool. Like, you're fighting. I want to learn. Like,
it's like branding, right? Almost, right? It's like, it's almost like a personal brand. It's marketing.
Yeah.
It's
like, and then like obviously doing then, and I obviously had to do strength training and, find ways to get better. Am I fighting and different avenues?
That's so
different
interesting, coaches, man.
Yeah, different running. And I was like, man, like, why don't people do that? That's why I do a lot of heavy strength and conditioning because I learned that from my own.
Yeah.
Like I learned a lot about nutrition through my own experience.
Okay.
Like about cutting weight, about
love that.
Learning like what it's like to fight a weight category, what it's like to lose, 5% body fat. So, like, doing all those and then trying out different stuff for different fights, fighting at different weights,
yeah,
it really opened up my eyes. You know what I mean? And, like,
there's
a lot of mindset that goes into it. So then I was, like, I was just telling everyone, like, man, like, you have to do this. You got to do this. Like, if you do this, you'll lose that much weight. Like, we got to go more in a deficit. We're going to go through a surplus and stuff like that. And, obviously, I started working with clients. But at the same time, obviously, I went and got education as well and make sure that I kept upskilling and getting the qualifications that I need at the same time. So, obviously, the way I see it, man, if you've never done it, if you've never been through it, how do you know what someone's going through? And a lot of my coaches that work for me as advice, you got to practice what you preach.
Yeah, 100%.
You can't tell someone to do this if you can't do it yourself, if you don't know what they're feeling.
So the way
I see it, it's like I'm not going to make someone do something that I've never done before if I'm not capable of doing it, even if it was back then when I was, real fit.
100%. And, man, what did you feel like? So I prepped for a couple of bodybuilding shows, and that was definitely more my focus, right? I did like 3 years of kickboxing, but it was sparse. It was like whatever, right? Did some sparring stuff, loved it, but didn't really like getting hit in the head on every Saturday as a to-do list. So I was like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. A shin to the head, I'll pass. But for you, obviously, you had a different experience. How did learning about fighting impact your ability to coach people on body weight? Now, did you do the... Because fighters typically... 10 years ago, were even now, are very extreme with their weight cutting, and that sort of stuff. Did you find that you learned a lot of lessons along the way, cutting weight, fucking it up, doing it really well, that you could help your clients with?
Yeah, all the time, man. Like, I always want to always look at things as a long-term approach, even for like my training. So, you know, I never really went into a sauna and then sat in a sauna, you know, for 2 hours just to really cut weight. You lose brain from the fluid. Yep. You lose fluid from the brain, and you know, it could be bad for you. So it's like, how do you just set up early and then making sure when it comes to that time to weigh in, you've actually got a really good approach. Love instead that. Of okay, leaving until last minute and trying to lose 6-7 kilos, then when I see people end up on the drip and then they can't even fight. Yeah, and it happens, and it still happens very, very often.
Yeah, so
it's like when I educate all my clients, it's like, well, hold on, stop looking for the quick fix. Yeah. Let's look at something that's going to be, you know, sustainable.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're always getting those results, and it's part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, 100%. It's funny, man, because you've got pretty much a huge depth of experience, but and a different way of getting to the same place. Like, I'm exactly the same, where it's like 6, 12, 24 months, you should be looking into the future on how you can develop yourself to have habits that are effortless eventually, you know? But it's funny because I did the bodybuilding, you did the fighting. It's funny that you come to the same end.
Yeah, that's right. And look, we always have that approach with our gym, with our trainers. It's like, we're not here for quick fixes.
We're
here to make lifestyle changes that you can carry on regardless when you leave with us. Have we changed your habits from not having breakfast every day to having breakfast? Have we stopped your late night snacking? Do you know what I mean? Like things like that, so they can take off with us forever. Yeah. And you know what? They're going to be better for it when, you know, they become parents, they become older and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's massive, bro. Just that thinking that long-term impact as well. That's what I like to think of as well. It's just that, it's that sort of like, what can I give you in your time with us that's going to help you when you're not with us? I think that's just the best way to be, man. Mate, that's fucking awesome, bro. I love that story. It's so different to mine, and I just think it's so unique, man. I just can only imagine like having 30 of your mates at 16. Because when you were a fighter, I don't know if you remember, but like anyone that was a fighter when you were 16, 17, they were the man at school. Like if you could fight, you were the man. Like don't fuck around. Costa, he knows how to have a swack, and you wouldn't.
That. Yeah, but the best part about it was like, it was cool because even like at school, the teachers got on board with it as well. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, man. That's,
like it was mad. They're like, oh, you fighting? I'm like, yeah. It's like, I even had a couple of them come and watch. Like later on when I turned pro, when I was like 19, 20, they were at the shows. I'm like, yeah, they're like, oh, we sort of advertised on Facebook and stuff. So it was just cool, man, just to get people around it. Do you know what I mean? And then, you know, and then you promote the sport and then people respect the sport as well. Yeah. And then when, like I said, a lot of them came in to just to train with me and then, Obviously, I took the strength and conditioning route as well. And then I learned a lot of lessons because, obviously when I was like 16 to like 19, 20, SNC wasn't really back around that much anymore.
Yeah, not in conjunction with boxing, right?
Nah, it was just more like your 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, 100 push-ups was your
traditional. Old school Rocky shit, right?
But then I was just like, man, there has to be something else out there. Yeah. Like there's needs to be, and then I started like researching, and then I started seeing like 2-3 different coaches and getting their perspective and doing different stuff, which made me so much more better. Yeah, and then I started 100%. To realize about ground-based power. Then obviously you do your bare minimum, your cert 3 and 4, but then I was like, cool, what do we do to get better? So that's when I started researching and I started upskilling about like functional movement screening, started looking at the Strength and Conditioning Association. And then and then I was like, man, before boxing, I was like, I was playing soccer, I was playing footy, I was playing cricket.
Yep.
And I was like, man, there's no warm-ups here. We don't do anything. Like, it's so important. Yep. So that's when I started taking my love for SNC for team sports. Because I'm like, I can change the impact that I can have here. Yeah, and then I started looking, like, obviously you see a lot of my stories, like a lot of junior athletes, because I'm like, how come we're not doing this? This is the future of our sport. These are the people that are coming up, and we're not educating them on anything and to make them better. Like it is, I just saw a massive gap. And I was like, and then I just started to see like people grow up, like starting with you from a very young age. And you just see them grow and they're with you. And that's when I just got really into training like a lot of athletes from different sports, because I could just see their growth coming up, like watching them grow from a kid, you know, into a great young man. And then most importantly, just watching transition, actually understand how to, you know, look after their body as well.
Yeah, that's sick, man. Mate, talk to me a little bit about, obviously we've done a huge dive on your backstory and that sort of stuff, which is just, it's so awesome to hear. In terms of where you want 747 to be, or what you'd want it to be remembered for, I suppose, in your local area, what's that? What do you want to go down as, or what do you want your facility to be remembered as, or is it a one and done thing? You just want to impact the people that are in front of you, and you're happy with that, or what do you want to leave behind?
Yeah, look, obviously everyone wants to leave a good legacy and leave things behind, but importantly for me is just teaching people to do it the right way. Do you know what I mean? Like, no shortcuts, you know, like having, you know, people understand about long-term health and stop looking at it as a four-week cycle, staying consistent to the cause, you know, train hard, get results, change your nutritional habits, be in a better place, and just have a community like we have that are surrounded by like-minded people. But the best part about it is, man, like, people from my facility, it's like a little family, and people get along so well. Like, one of the girls became a bridesmaid for another one's wedding. Like, it's just great
That's
to see.
So
like
cute,
over a,
man.
yeah like over a 4 or 5 year period, you're like, man, like, this, you know, having these people
Yeah.
surrounded and for the same, want the same thing, like, they just built so many like healthy friendships and relationships. And it just, for me, it's just great because someone has that sense of belonging. And when I first started like my facility, it's like, I want to be different, where everybody feels supported through an ego-free environment.
Yeah.
And man, we cut out people. Like, as bad as it sounds,
Yeah.
we don't, yeah.
Doesn't
we
sound
don't.
bad to me, man. Does not sound
Yeah,
bad.
that's right. So we actually want people that want to be there just to better themselves. You know, if they align with our values, you know, so be it. We're not really driven like, okay, cool. Like, we don't want someone to wreck our culture.
Nah,
And
100%. It's
we want
sacred,
to feel
right?
comfortable and safe. And
That's
pretty much what we want to be in our facility and be remembered for that. And like,
that's mad.
man, like, that average lifespan, like in the gym, is like 4 or 5 years a client.
That's
You know what I
crazy.
mean? And then you hear of this. I got a lot of personal trainers that come to me and they go, oh, the turnover is so high, or your clients will stay with you for 3 months. I'm like, no, that's bullshit, because that comes down to you
Yeah,
and
100%.
what you can do. Yes, circumstances change. Yes, clients, you know,
Can
women, you
move,
know,
whatever.
and then move house, like, that all happens. But the other ones that are always in the area or thereabouts, they're always going to remember you. And if they do come back, it should be the first person of contact that you should have that
Yeah,
much of
that's
an
great,
impact,
man.
and you made their life better.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. I fucking love that. So I suppose then what you want to be sort of that the importance of community is huge to you. You've
Yeah,
created
man, 100%. Yeah.
I love
Yeah,
that.
that's right. Because I'm like, let's support each other, right? Eh? Like, and
Yeah.
the way I saw it is, well, like, when I was doing it, especially like doing boxing as an individual sport as well, like, the support wasn't there from like when I was young, when I was like 16, 17. And especially like these people coming through now. So how can we best support them and be there for them?
Yeah, that's sick, man. I love that. Mate, I hope some people listening can find a gym like yours in that area. That's that boxing, sort of that massive community, man. Because obviously we don't offer it here, but it's really nice to have that option for people, because it's just different to what we offer, and it's nice for people to hear something different than what I typically ramble on about, which is lifting weights, tracking calories. It's good to hear.
Yeah. And like, even with our strength and conditioning and all that sort of stuff as well.
That's great.
Like, we take the same approach.
Same
like
approach.
We partner up people. Yeah, we partner up people that, you know, we know they're going to be, you know, they can get along and they've got similar goals. And then, like, we partner them up on their rest times they speak to each other and things like that, to really making
That's good,
sure
man.
that
Like, buddy
they
them
all get
together.
along. That's what I'll do. We have that thing. It's like, okay, cool. Like, I didn't know, like, this person had similar interests to me. Do you know what I mean? I thought I was
big
just,
time.
Okay. Yeah, like, a lot of people think that they come off the street and they have that problem, but no one else will have that problem.
Yeah,
But it's just
100%.
like, hey, cool, like, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Like, we're all, you
Yeah,
know, it's like, surround yourself with like-minded people, and then people find that facility, and it's great.
Yeah, man. So many clients of mine are like, when they first sign up, they're like, one of their biggest questions is like, there's not going to be really fit people there, are there? And I'm like, nah, man. Like, everybody's coming to me because they're unfit and they need to get fit. Like, there are some people that are advanced and they're doing their thing, but best believe they're very, very friendly. You're not going to be, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to have someone be like,
yeah, get
from across the gym. Mate,
nah,
talk
of
to me.
Course.
I want to finish up on, I was going to say worst client story, but let's go best client story. What was your favorite coaching moment for you? I'm sure you have heaps, but what's the one that stands out for you the most? Could be longer standing client, could be a specific moment, or what's something that you love that made you just really appreciate being a coach?
Probably I've had a fair few athletes now sign professional contracts,
That's
and
cool.
I've been in their corner from strength and conditioning. But the best part about it is I've been in the corner since they were young kids. So like they're signing pro contracts at 19, 20, but they started with me at 13.
Yeah.
And I've watched this journey unfold. And I've watched the setbacks. I've heard it all in sessions. I've heard them being cut from teams. Like, and I had, you know, and I've been there and you know, being like a sounding board, like, hey, how we take this approach? And like, obviously I shouldn't, but I get involved and okay, cool. And be like, look, let's speak to him, or you know, if I have a contact and let's get the best out of him. And you know, like one of my boys, like never just showed up every day, just did the work. Got faster, got quicker, got more powerful, just stayed to the cause. Niche, and then he ended up signing a professional contract, Melbourne Victory. But most importantly, and he just all got called up for the Olyroos as well, which is the Young Socceroos.
Yeah.
They're like watching him now, like on TV and going to the stadium, you know, with his family and watching together. It's just like, man, I've watched you grow up.
That's
like, it's just unreal, man. Like,
that's sick.
And that's why I love athletes, because like you can make such a big impact, but when you see them like play the route and just watching what they go through, and you feel like you're part of that journey. Like,
of course.
It's probably one of the best things, man. Like, and that's why I've got such a big passion for athletes. Like, because you just, it's not like, yeah, cool, like they, you know, like, oh, they've made it kind of thing. It's like, man, I've watched the struggles, and then while they're in it, it's like there's more struggles.
Yeah, of course, and yeah, it's very lonely, right? And I'm sure you know that. Right? Like, coming along, you're in there every day working out, doing the things by yourself, motivating yourself. No one's there really cheering for you or going to bat for you necessarily. So probably nice for you to be that person for them, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it's fantastic, man. And they always ask me for feedback and, you know, which way to take this thing, which way we should look at things. And it's just. But like all my clients, man, you just make, just when you make it such a positive impact and you get that feedback and you get those messages, like, thank you for this, like mentally I'm better for it. Like I was in a dark place, but you made me, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel now. It's just like,
I love that.
Yeah, we're not therapists, but we kind of vibe.
Man, you are a little bit, man. Yeah, you're the big one for sure.
Oh, yeah, but it's sick. Like, it's good. Like, you watch people transfer, and that's what we do, right? Like,
of course.
You know, we wouldn't be in the gym from 5 in the morning until 9, 10, and then come back at night and then do it from 4 until 9 if we didn't love it.
Yeah, 100%. You have to.
People think it's the most glamorous life, but man, to be honest, it's pretty shit.
It's not. It's not glamorous at all.
You're a trainer, bro. Like, it's fucking mad. You see all this stuff, and it's like, brother, I can get home at 10:30 at night. You want that?
Yeah, and you got to live like a robot. You got to sleep.
Yeah, literally.
Get home, bed up, you're done.
Yeah, that's right. That's probably my coolest story, but this, we can talk about all of them because I've got such a diverse range, you know, from, you know, people doing boxing, you know, people doing weight loss, fat loss, you know, competing and all that sort of stuff.
Beautiful. Man, look, quick one today. Thanks for jumping on, bro. I really appreciate you sharing your story and your time. And it's really nice for everybody listening to get that sort of boxing approach and somebody that does it differently to me. I really appreciate your time, and thanks for coming on, bro.
Thanks, brother.
Legend. Thank you.